through the permission of all the devotees, I'll attempt to say a few words on this passage and verse that we're reading today. So here we're reading of how Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad Maharaj, "What is the best thing you have learnt?" And Prahlad Maharaj quite boldly replied to Hiranyakashipu, "Hitva padam grihamandakupam." Those like you, he told this to Hiranyakashipu's face, which was quite bold, obviously demonstrating Prahlad's deep faith. He said, "Hitvatmapatam, those who have fallen into the griham andakupam, the deep dark well of materialistic life." In other words, you. "Vanam gato," just leave it all behind and go to the forest. And then what will you do in the forest? "Yad harim ashrayaita," there you should take shelter of Lord Hari and fully engage yourself in devotional service. So this was Prahlad's reply to Hiranyakashipu's inquiry. Now Hiranyakashipu puts all of these words down to the intelligence of children spoiled by the words of the enemy. In other words, Hiranyakashipu is saying, when people in this world associate with saintly persons, then their mind becomes changed immediately. This is the influence of saintly people. Saintly people are able to change completely the destiny of materialistic people. And Hiranyakashipu obviously had big plans for Prahlad in terms of material affluence and material happiness. And he was seeing that these plans were being completely foiled due to the association of Narad Muni. So the association of saintly people is very, very powerful. What Srila Prabhupada, he had instructed the devotees in Australia in the early days to spread Krishna consciousness through Harinam, Sankirtan, mainly chanting on the streets more than anything. So this was their instruction: go out and do Harinam. So this they faithfully did. And because it was such a shock to the culture of 1970s Australian society, the police arrested the devotees, charging them for being a moving obstacle in the city center. So the devotees, here they were now in jail for doing Harinam Sankirtan. And of course, as you know, when you go to jail, you may or may not know, but you've probably seen it on TV. When you go to jail, you get the famous one call. You can make one phone call. That's it. So they thought, okay, so they got their one phone call. So they made the phone call to the temple and they said, "Well, we've been doing Harinam and we've been arrested." So, you know, they asked the temple president, "Can you, you know, maybe you could bail us out? You know, don't particularly want to spend the night in the cell." So the temple president, obviously it was a financially cash-strapped temple. And the temple president said, "Well, I sympathize with you, but unfortunately we just don't have the money at this moment in time." So they had to spend the night in the cell. But they thought, what to do? Our instruction from Prabhupada was to do Harinam. So they thought, well, if we can't do Harinam outside, let's do Harinam in the jail. So they began to collect whatever makeshift instruments they could in the prison cell and began a Harinam, telling the other prisoners about the glories of chanting the holy names of Krishna. And lo and behold, within 10-15 minutes, they had everyone chanting, right? All the prisoners. As you know, as the kirtan went on, it got more and more ecstatic and intense. The prisoners started doing the transcendental train through all the cells. They're doing the spinning, you know, the spinning moves, cartwheels, and it was really a sight to behold. And the cell officers were amazed and shocked as well that, you know, how is such a thing happening? So they immediately called the devotees and said, "What are you guys doing?" I said, "Well, we're just chanting the, you know, names of God. And the names of God are so powerful. Just see how all these prisoners have really got into it." And the prison officers, they said, "Look, you guys, we're just going to let you go. You guys are more dangerous inside the prison than outside the prison. Best thing is, you just go and they just let the devotees go. Okay? So, the influence of saintly people is very powerful. Of course, we see in the life of Buddha that Buddha's father, just like, maybe not as bad as Hiranyakashipu, but Buddha's father, the king, he wanted Buddha to have a very auspicious and a very affluent material life. So he gave Buddha everything, but he made one condition. He never wanted to expose Buddha to two things. The first thing is, he never wanted Buddha to be exposed to any kind of distress or any kind of material suffering. And because obviously when you see distress, death, suffering, that makes you question life. Well, what's it all about? There must be something more than just this. So he never wanted him to see any of that. And the other thing he never wanted to expose him to was saintly people. Because obviously when you speak to saintly people, they start telling you, even if you haven't seen distress, it's going to come. They tell you. So Buddha's father, he never wanted Buddha to see any of those things. But as we know, as the story goes, at the age of 29, Buddha left that palace and he met the four divine messengers. This was his first time out of the palace, and he met the four divine messengers that led to his enlightenment. The first three messengers were an old man he saw first, then he saw a diseased man, and then he saw a corpse. And he saw these three things and he realized the realities of life: old age, disease, and ultimately death. And he immediately began thinking, there must be more. And then the fourth messenger he met, just a little down the street, was the saintly person, the person engaged in spiritual life. And then he realized that these three messengers taught me the problems of this life, and this final messenger, he is telling me the process by which to overcome this. So again, Buddha, just by seeing the saintly person, was immediately attracted towards the spiritual path as opposed to the material path. Again, the power and the influence of saintly people. Even we see in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes that even Lord Chaitanya's mother was afraid of the influence of saintly people. As we know, Lord Chaitanya's older brother was Vishwaroop. And Vishwaroop, a great scholar, was becoming increasingly attached to hearing from Advaita Acharya. So every day in Advaita Bhavan, Advaita Acharya would be lecturing on the Yoga Vasistha scriptures, but giving devotional purports to it. And Vishwaroop was hearing these discourses of Advaita Acharya every day. And as time went by, Vishwaroop became more and more attracted and attached to Advaita Acharya. And at a certain point in time, Vishwaroop, through the influence and association of Advaita Acharya, decided to give up material life altogether and take sannyas. And that's when Vishwaroop became Shankararanya, and he took sannyas. When Sachimata heard of this, she was plunged into deep despair and distress that her son had so early in his life left home and taken sannyas. So in her mind, she was cursing Advaita Acharya that this saintly person, he's taken my son away. But because she knew that Advaita Acharya was a Vaishnava, she never said anything. Because she knew it would be aparad if she had said something. But then what happened is, after Vishwaroop took sannyas, Nimai, he started also going to Advaita Acharya. In the beginning, it was a discourse here and a discourse there. But as time went on, Nimai began frequenting Advaita Acharya's house more and more and more. He spent more and more and more time there. And he was even neglecting all his family and other things, becoming absorbed in hearing from Advaita Acharya. And when Sachimata saw this, she was immediately thinking, now it's going to happen again. First, Advaita Acharya takes Vishwaroop, my older son, and now he's going to take my younger son, Nimai. through this, you know, this Advaita Acharya's saintly association is going to infect him again. So one time she just couldn't bear this, and she shouted out, she said, "This personality, his name is Advaita, non-dual, but he is completely Dvaita, he is completely duplicitous. He is coming and he is taking my only sons away from me. How can he do such a thing? This is actually a great offense what he is doing." And like this, Sachimata just blurted it out. And even though she said it only once, it was considered actually a very grave offense. And later on, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving all the devotees Krishna prema pradayate, he was just freely giving it. Srivas Pandit came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he said, "You're giving Krishna prema to everyone, but how come you're not giving to Sachimata?" And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I cannot give to Sachimata because she has offended a Vaishnava." Srivas Pandit said, "How is it possible that Sachimata could offend a Vaishnava?" And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained what Sachimata had done. And Srivas Pandit said, "So, can you not forgive her?" Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "No, I cannot forgive her. She must go to Advaita Acharya and beg for his forgiveness. Just as Durvasa Muni had to go to Ambarish to beg forgiveness." So, Sachimata then she went to Advaita Acharya and she said, "You know, please forgive me. I said this. I shouldn't have said it." And Advaita Acharya, he was completely baffled by the whole situation. He said, "How can you ask for forgiveness from me? You are so elevated. You are the mother of the Lord. You have come in so many different forms as Yashoda and so on. How can you offend me?" And like this, as Advaita Acharya was singing the glories of Sachimata, he fainted out of ecstasy, hearing the glories of Sachimata. And as he fainted, Sachimata thought, "This is my opportunity." So she dived right in, and took the dust from Advaita Acharya's feet on her head, and thus was resolved from the offense to the Vaishnava. So like this, we see that even Sachimata, what to speak of Hiranyakasipu, even Sachimata was scared of the influence of saintly people like that. So, like this we're seeing, and even in my own life I can see, my parents when I was younger, they told me, they said, you know, come to the temple once, now and again, not too much, because if you spend too much time with these people, then, you know, your mind will change. And what to say? They were right. So it's like that. The effect of saintly people and the influence of saintly people is very, very powerful. And here we're also seeing how Prahlad was affected by the saintly association of Narad Muni even while he was within the womb. So obviously very deep lessons to learn here about taking advantage of the association of devotees. Not last Janmashtami, but the Janmashtami before, I was out on the field, and a group of devotees from the Swaminarayan temple had come. So one of the devotees introduced me to them, and then we began to discuss many different topics, what was going on about Krishna and so on and so forth. And then the discussion came to the Bhagavatam. And they said, "Yes, we also study the Bhagavatam." And we were discussing different aspects of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then one of them said, "Yes, our Guruji, our spiritual master, he told us that one verse in the Bhagavatam is the most important verse." So I was quite intrigued. So I said, well, maybe you could share that verse with us. So he told me that verse. And it was quite surprising, out of all the verses of the Bhagavatam, I mean, there are many, many famous verses in the Bhagavatam, but I had never heard this verse before, but his guru considered it one of the most important verses in the Bhagavatam. And it was a verse spoken by Kapila to his mother, Devahuti. And the verse found in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, prashangam majaram pasham atmana kavayo vidu sa eva sadushu kritau moksha dvaram apavritam. Very wonderful verse. I'd never heard it before. I checked it on Vedabase after, and Prabhupada actually quotes it quite sometimes. But it's a very interesting verse. Prashangam ajaram pasham, which means that attachment to the things of this world, attachment to materialistic people and materialistic things, is what causes bondage in this world. Atmana kavayo vidu. The kavayo vidu, the great teachers, they know this. That if you become attached to the things of this world, then you'll become completely materially entangled. And it's the cause of all distress. But sa'eva, that same attachment, sadhusu krito, if you apply it to saintly people, if somehow or other you become attached to a saintly person, you take the association and benefit from the sangha of a saintly person, then moksha dvaram apavritam, then the moksha dvaram, the doors to liberation, are opened wide for you to enter through. It's a very nice verse, explaining how attachment to saintly people, attachment to sadhus, is what can actually take us out of this world and open up the doors for liberation, like that. So, in this verse today, we're hearing how Narad Muni is the greatest example of such a sadhu. In fact, his name, Nara, Narada. Nara refers to Narayan, and Da, like we say, Dan, means to give. So his name itself means one who gives Narayan to others. Very nice name. So Narad Muni is the ideal example of such a saintly person who is giving Narayan to everyone and who is changing people's destiny by his association. Of course, Narad Muni is considered a Mahajan. Swayambhur Narada Sambhur Kumara Kapilo Munu Pralado Janako Bhishmo Balir Vaishikir Vayam. The Bhagavatam outlines 12 Mahajans and explains that Narad Muni is one of those Mahajans, and such a great Mahajan he is that he also creates another Mahajan, which is Pralad. Pralado Janako Bhishmo. So Narad Muni is a Mahajan, and he created another Mahajan through his association, Prahlad Maharaj. So, if you look in the Bhagavatam, there's so much written about Narad Muni. Everyone knows about Narad Muni and his glories and how many wonderful things he did in his preaching exploits. In fact, the devotees in the 60s, they were so inspired by Narad Muni that Hayagriva Prabhu, he wrote a song about Narad Muni. And he sang the song once to Prabhupada. I don't know how the tune went, but I'll tell you the lyrics. This was Hayagriva Prabhu's song about Narad Muni. He said, "Do you know who is the first eternal spaceman in the universe? The first to send his wild, wild vibrations to all those cosmic superstations. For the song he always shouts sends all the planets flipping out. But I'll tell you before you think me loony that I'm actually talking about Narad Muni." And when Prabhupada heard that, Prabhupada said, "Very nice, very nice. You should create more songs like this about these great personalities, Narad Muni." So even the devotees in the early days, they were very, very inspired by the example and the teachings and wonderful narrations of Narad Muni. So what I thought we'd do today, in whatever time we have, in every single canto of the Bhagavatam, Narad Muni is mentioned. And every time Narad Muni changes someone's destiny by preaching to them, by giving them Krishna consciousness, there's amazing lessons to be learned about how Narad Muni deals with people, and so much to be learned about his own character that we can think about. So today what I'll try to do is go through some of those different pastimes of Narad Muni and show how, for all of us, ultimately we are a preaching movement. just like Narada is going around the universe giving Narayan to everyone, then we also are trying to do the same. So we can learn so much from Narada Muni's example as a preacher. Of course, in the pastime we have here, of course, Narada changed the destiny of Prahlad. As we know, Hiranyakashipu, he was to go to the... he decided he wanted to perform all the austerities to become immortal. So Hiranyakashipu, he went to the mountain, Mandarachal mountain. And so he left. And his wife, Kayadu, she was left back in the kingdom. And obviously Kayadu, at that time, she was pregnant with Prahlad in the womb. And the demigods, they thought that, my God, Hiranyakashipu, just look at the terrible things he's doing. Now imagine what this son in the womb will do. So the demigods decided, we gotta, you know, one, Hiranyakashipu is bad enough, and if we have another one, it's all over. So they decided to take Kayadu away, and they decided that when the child would be born, the demigods immediately they would kill that child. So they were taking Kayadu away, and as they were taking Kayadu away to the heavenly planets where the demigods reside, Narada Muni intercepted. And he said, whoa, 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 where are you going? You know, so they explained the whole situation, and Narada Muni said, no, no, you cannot kill this child. Just let them come with me. So Narada Muni took Kayadu and Prahlad in the womb of Kayadu back to his ashram. And there, as we know, Narada Muni intercepted and gave spiritual wisdom to Kayadu and also obviously to Prahlad in the womb. And that's how Prahlad became Prahlad. So like this, an amazing teaching here of how Narada Muni didn't see that this child is from a demoniac family. This child, you know, is going to cause such a disturbance. But Narada Muni saw the potential that if this child is given spiritual knowledge, then it can be transformed. Doesn't matter if it's from a demoniac mentality. So this is the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Like it said, Krishna came to kill the demons, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to kill the demoniac mentality. And how to kill the demoniac mentality? Through Krishna Prem, through teaching people love of God. So here we see how Narada Muni, he didn't judge Kayadu, or he didn't judge Prahlad, saying, you know, you're coming from this background, you know, so many sinful activities have gone on in your family, and therefore you'll also be like this. But rather, Narada Muni, he saw the potential of Prahlad Maharaj, the potential that by hearing spiritual knowledge, he could be transformed. So like this, this is the devotee. Never judges anyone, but sees the potential in everyone. I remember I was always mystified when I used to watch book distributors. And it's one of the things that attracted me to doing book distribution. Because I remember when I first used to see book distributors on the street, I could just stand there and watch them for hours. Because they would just stop all kinds of people. And from a distance, you would look at them and they would stop someone and you would think, my God, you're just wasting your time, you know. That person is definitely not going to be into it. And then like 3 minutes later, they'd be walking away with like 3 books, you know. So it was like amazing to see how the book distributors, they would have that vision that, no, stop anyone. Anyone can take the Krishna consciousness. The potential is there within everyone. So the devotee, they always see the potential in others. This is exemplified by Narada Muni. Just like Srila Prabhupada, one time the devotees, they organized for Prabhupada to speak at one of these kind of far out rock festivals. It wasn't the mantra rock dance, but it was something similar. So Prabhupada turned up to this event about, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning or something, when, you know, things were just getting going. And Prabhupada walked in. The disciples had taken him to this, this place. And as soon as Prabhupada walked in, he looked at the stage, and there were 4 hippies on stage dressed as bananas. They were all dressed in banana suits, and they were dancing around on stage, you know, to some hippie tune of the day. So Prabhupada looked at this sight on stage, and You know, he just turned to his disciple. Prabhupada was completely baffled. He looked to his disciple and he said, what is the meaning of this? You know, Prabhupada couldn't understand it. So then the disciple, he began to explain why they were on stage dancing in banana outfits. And the disciple explained that Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanumana ki, Gaurinithai ki. The disciple explained that they're dressed in banana suits because they found out that if you take the skin of the banana, you dry it, and then you put a flame underneath it, and you inhale the fumes, then it's basically a cheap alternative for LSD. No one should try this. So they said the hippies, they're very, very happy because now they have a cheap alternative for LSD. So Prabhupada looked at his disciple and he said, "My God, when I came to America, I could never imagine I would meet people like this." You know? So Prabhupada, he was completely fazed by the whole thing. But Prabhupada, nevertheless, he said, "Anyway, we should go on with the preaching program. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy can reach even these people." So unfazed, Prabhupada went on stage. He chanted Hare Krishna, gave a wonderful lecture, and then the devotees left. And the next day, one of the hippie organizers, he came back and he said, "Well, Swamiji, that was great what you did yesterday. I mean, you inspired so many of these hippies who are, you know, stuck on drugs. You inspired so many of them to, think about the spiritual aspect of life." So Prabhupada said, "Yeah, well, thank you for inviting us." And then this organizer said, he said, "Well, the hippies, they're so happy that they've decided that every day they will donate one crate of bananas to Lord Jagannath." So Prabhupada said, "Great, Jagannath will enjoy the bananas." And then the hippie said, organizer, he said, "But there's one condition. The condition is they want the banana skins back." Prabhupada said, "No problem. They can have the banana skins. They're rendering some service to Jagannath. Definitely in due course of time, they'll be purified." So just see how Prabhupada, he never judged, he never said, "These guys are out of it, they're not qualified to understand." No, Prabhupada saw the potential. He was able to go beyond all of those coverings and see that inside all of one of those people, there's a spirit soul, and that spirit soul is yearning for Krishna. And if we sincerely present, then they would be able to take it up like that. So Narad Muni, he never judged Prahlad, saying, "You've come from a demoniac family, you can't." Similarly, the preacher never discriminates, gives everyone an opportunity to take to Krishna consciousness. In another pastime of Narad Muni in the Bhagavatam, we see that Daksha had, obviously Prajapati Daksha, his duty in the universe is to procreate. So Daksha had begotten 10,000 sons, the Haryashvas, and had told them that now you're going to help me procreate in this universe. So he sent them to perform austerities in the mountains by the sea. So this they did, and as they were performing their austerities there in preparation for their task of procreating the universe, along came Narad Muni. And Narad Muni, seeing them so determinedly engaged in austerity, Narad Muni said, "Why are you guys engaged in all of this just to procreate in the universe? Why do you want to go back into this whole world and become entangled in family life and so many things? I can see you have the adhikar just to renounce this world. Why don't you just renounce?" And the Haryashvas, being inspired by Narad Muni's words, thought, "Well, that's a good idea." So they decided to renounce, and they never went back to their father's home to fulfill his order. So naturally, Daksha became very, very angry. "How is it? 10,000 sons. You made every single one of them a sannyasi." I mean, that's powerful preaching. So he said, "Anyway, what to do?" Then he begot another 1,000 sons. And those 1,000 sons were called the Savalashvas. So he said, now you thousand, now you're going to help me at least procreate this universe. So he sent them to also perform austerities in preparation. As they were performing austerities, along came Narad Muni, take two. And Narad Muni, seeing these sons, he thought, wow, you guys are just as good as those 10,000 previous ones. He goes, why are you going to get entangled in this world? You may as well just give it all up. And they heard Narad Muni and they also became inspired. So they said, yeah, okay, good idea. So they left also and they never went back to Prajapati Daksha. So when Daksha heard of his second batch of sons, all 1,000 of them becoming sannyasis, Daksha said, this is too much. This Narad Muni is too much. And then he cursed Narad Muni that, you know, for this great misfortune that you have dealt me, I curse you that you will never be able to stay in the same place. You will have to keep moving. And of course, when Narad Muni heard that, he just said, Dad Badam, no problem, I accept. And he took it as a blessing and he just went on his way like this. But very interesting here that a preacher has to be very tolerant because a preacher will get cursed by people for giving the world Krishna consciousness. Of course, many people wanted to assassinate Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj for the very powerful preaching that he was doing. Even in our lives, we see if you go out on the street, you try to distribute books or you try to create some project to spread Krishna consciousness in this world, immediately there's so much opposition. So the saintly person has to be very, very tolerant. There's this verse in the Bhagavatam, Titikshava Kuru Nika Surida Sarvadehinam Ajata Shatrava Shanta Shadava Sadhu Bhusanaha. That the sadhu preacher has to be titikshava, very tolerant, karunika, very compassionate, surida sarvadehinam, friendly to every single living being, such that ajata shatrava, they have no enemies, and they're sadhava, completely fixed in their spiritual practices. Sadhu Bhusana, these are the qualities and characteristics and ornaments of a sadhu. So saintly people in this world who are trying to give this world Krishna consciousness, they won't be much appreciated. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he used to tell this story of how one man, he liked to invite saintly people to his home. So he used to frequently invite sadhus to come to his house, but his wife, she wasn't so much into it. First thing is she had to cook for them, which took time and energy. And the other thing is she was worried that these saintly people, they will come and influence and disturb our lives. So this wife, she wasn't very happy that saintly people were coming. So one day, two saintly people arrived at the home and the husband, he was out at this time. So the wife, she thought up a plan. So what she did is she invited the two saintly people in, said, welcome, welcome. And she said, please take a seat. My husband will be coming soon. He'll be very happy to meet you. Of course, in her mind, she was thinking, I've got to get these guys out of here. So then what she did is before they were about to sit down, she got a set of tongs that you make chapatis with. You know, you turn them around with tongs. So she got these tongs. And she said, please take a seat. But she said, before you take a seat, let me just put these under your seat, the tongs. These saintly people were a bit mystified. They said, you know, why are you putting tongs underneath where we're sitting? So then the wife, she said, well, you know, my husband, sometimes when he sees saintly people, what he does is he invites them in very nicely. But then what happens after some time, he gets these tongs, he puts them under the fire, heats them up, and then he goes up to the saintly person, he grabs their nose with the tongue, and he twists it. So these sadhus were thinking, my God, this man, is he all right, you know? And so they asked the lady, they said, well, where is he now? So she said, oh, he's just out, but he'll come back. He'll be here any minute. So the sadhu said, actually, maybe we should move on. We've got other things to do. Feeling scared of this potential encounter with this gentleman with the tongs. So then they started moving out, slipping out. And as they slipped out of the door, just at that moment, the husband came in. And obviously, he was actually very happy. He wanted to see saintly people. And he saw them slipping away. So as soon as they went away, he asked his wife. He said to her, "Why are they going?" So his wife said, basically, they're a little strange, those sadhus. They wanted these tongs that I make chapatis with. So the husband said to the wife, what's the problem? Then you should have just given the tongs, no? It's not a big thing. We can just get another pair. So she said, no, I didn't give it. The husband said, why didn't you give it? And then the husband picked up the tongs. And then he ran out. And then he caught sight of the sadhus and he said, wait, where are you going? And they looked back and they saw him. They thought, my God. So then he lifted up the tongs and he said, here, for you. Then they started running even faster. And the man, he just couldn't understand it, why they were running away, you know. And his wife, she had made the whole plan. So like this, the wife was making the plan because she was worried about the influence of saintly people. So saintly people have to be very tolerant because they will get cursed and they will not be welcomed by the people of this world. So we see this in the pastime of the Haryashvas and Savalashvas, that Narad Muni had to display great tolerance. Even though he dealt Daksha's sons the greatest fortune, still he was cursed by Daksha. But he never complained. Many more pastimes. I'll tell one more and then we'll stop because we're running out of time. The preaching of Narad Muni sometimes is also very difficult to understand. As we know, when Vasudeva and Devaki were coming away on the chariot with Kamsa from their wedding, and the Akashvani came, the sound from the skies came that your eighth son will be the cause, Devaki's eighth son will be the cause of your death. Then, as we know, Kamsa imprisoned Vasudeva and Devaki and said that every one of your sons that is now born, I will kill them. So as soon as the first son was born, Vasudeva took it to Kamsa. And Kamsa was struck by Vasudeva's, word of honor that he had come and done, you know, as he said, he did. So Kamsa was having second thoughts when the first baby came. He thought, the eighth one is going to kill me. Vasudeva is such a nice guy. Maybe the first seven, I don't have to kill them, you know. No need for it, really. At that time, Narad Muni came and he said to Kamsa, kill them. Kill all of them. Don't just kill the eighth one, kill all eight of them. Because you better understand, Kamsa, that the demigods are all taking birth in this family. So don't take any chances. Now, someone will look at this and think, my God, Narad Muni, he's supposed to be a friend of the devotees. And now here he's telling Kamsa to kill. Kamsa doesn't want to kill the children, and Narad Muni is telling, kill the children. So why? Then obviously if you look a little bit deeper, Narad Muni had a whole motivation behind that. Why was Narad Muni telling Kamsa to kill all eight children? Because he wanted to increase Kamsa's reputation as such a bad demon. He wanted to increase Kamsa's sinful activity, sinful stock of activity, and by increasing all of that, Krishna's appearance would be speeded up. So Krishna would come quicker. So that was Narad Muni's ultimate objective, that Krishna would come as soon as possible. And therefore he was instructing Kamsa that kill all of them. So like this, we see that sometimes the preaching also of a Vaishnava may not be understood. It's said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vigyaya Nabujoy. You cannot understand the mind, activities and words of a Vaishnava. So sometimes a preacher may be misunderstood. Just like one time, Prabhupada was meeting a mayor, I can't remember which, somewhere in America, and they were having a meeting with the mayor, And as they did that, so this mayor was meeting, you know, saintly person, the head of the Hare Krishna movement, and right in the middle of a meeting, one disciple came in with a briefcase, and he put it right in front of Srila Prabhupada. This was while the meeting was going on. So Srila Prabhupada, obviously he was expecting it, so he opened up the briefcase. You can just imagine the scene, right? Saffron robes, everything. So he puts the briefcase in front, the mayor sitting there, so Prabhupada, you know, kind of flicks the briefcase, opens it up, and is full of $100 bills. Just completely full. So this mayor looks at this, you know, briefcase and he thinks, my God, you know, I thought I was meeting a saintly person. This is more like meeting a drug baron or something, you know. So he saw this, you know, this briefcase full of notes. So he's completely flabbergasted. And then, as they were conversing, Prabhupada started picking out, you know, each wad of notes, and he started counting the notes. So now he was even more flabbergasted. He thought, my God, not only he got a suitcase full of notes, now he's counting it. Then the mayor even started asking him philosophical questions, and Prabhupada was counting the money and at the same time answering all the philosophical questions. He was counting, you know, yeah, the soul is indestructible and so on. And Prabhupada was answering all his questions. And it was amazing because the devotees said, Prabhupada, he never made a mistake in counting any of the money, and he never made a mistake in answering any of the questions. Prabhupada was perfectly doing everything. So this mayor, he was just becoming more and more flabbergasted. How is it that this saintly person can, you know, be dealing with all this money and all these things? And then after Prabhupada counted the whole thing, the mayor was still there having huge doubts in his mind. And then Prabhupada began to call in each of the devotees. And then he took two wads of notes out and he said, this is for food for life. Go. And then the devotee went away with the money. Prabhupada called in another devotee. This money is for temple construction in Mayapur. And he gave away that money. Like this, Prabhupada called in different devotees and gave every single note away. And then the mayor looked at him and realized, yes, he may be dealing with all this money, but he didn't keep one penny for himself. But in the middle, the mayor was thinking, what kind of saintly person is this? So we should also understand when we see saintly people or preachers, they may say or do things that we can't understand. But their motive is always in the right place. Just as Narad Muni told Kamsa, kill all the children. But it wasn't a bad instruction. It was actually for the ultimate good of the world. So like this, when you study the life of Narad Muni, you see there's so many subtleties to preaching and so many things to learn for every one of us as preachers. And ultimately, that's what we're trying to do, spread Krishna consciousness to others. This was very much Srila Prabhupada's mood, that everyone should become a preacher. Of course, he got this mood from Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, once he was giving a lecture, and he made a famous statement which became kind of like immortalized in his disciples. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he said, I want that every single selfless, kind-hearted member of the Gaudiya Math be willing to shed 200 gallons of blood for the upliftment of the spiritual corpus of the entire humanity. It's a very famous instruction that Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj gave. He said, 200 gallons of blood everyone must be willing to shed in order to benefit and give Krishna consciousness to other people. So Prabhupada, he very, very much took this mood on. And therefore, as followers of Srila Prabhupada, we should also endeavor to take this mood and give Krishna consciousness to others. And like Prahlad here is being influenced by the saintly association of Narad Muni, we should also try to give people the saintly association of Srila Prabhupada, which is what we're doing when we preach. Harisari Prabhu once, he said that, he said to Prabhupada, I want to go out and preach. I want to go out and, you know, spread the glories and preach Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada looked at him and said, what will you preach? You have nothing to preach. And then Prabhupada looked at him and he said, I am preaching. You simply give them my vani. I am preaching. So you give them my books, you repeat what I have said, and I am doing the preaching. So like this, this is what we're trying to do. Prabhupada is like the modern day Narad Muni. So we're trying to spread these wonderful teachings that Prabhupada has given us and infect the whole world with these teachings. And in this way, please the acharyas by giving Krishna consciousness to everyone. So there are some thoughts on this verse of the influence and power of saintly association, the power it has to change people's destiny.